appreciate all of you being here. I definitely appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight. And I hope that everything we do here tonight will be pleasing to God. I especially appreciate those of you who are visiting, and if you have any questions about what we are doing here tonight, or anything that we do here, just ask and stop and talk with us for a little bit, and we'll be happy to talk with you. If you have any questions about anything that'll be said in the lesson tonight, Steve is sitting right there, so he'll be happy to answer any of those questions you may have. And I think I'm missing the clicker. All right. Well, there are several characters in the Bible that we admire for different reasons. Maybe some we admire because they did really great things. Imagine Moses and the opening of the Red Sea. Or imagine Daniel and his friends and all that they went through. And then there are other characters that we admire because of their relationship with God. Like Abraham, who was called a friend of God. Or like David, a man after God's own heart. And then there are other characters in the Bible that maybe we don't know as well because they are in those pages that we don't go to very much. And maybe there is a whole lot about those characters, but we don't use them as much as examples because we don't know them as well and we don't feel very confident with them. And then there are some characters that we are not told much about, and so we just don't use them as much to learn from. But then there's one other character. Somebody that we come across a lot as we read the New Testament. And somebody that there is really a lot to learn from. And is before our eyes a lot. However, we don't talk about this character a lot. Maybe in part because of what other religious groups have done with her. Maybe because of how they regard her. Talking about Mary, mother of Jesus. Tonight we're going to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we're going to talk about how she was just a regular person, just like us. However, she was a person of great character and great faith. And so we're going to start, actually, from the fact that Mary may have not really understood what Jesus was really going to accomplish. She may not really have understood exactly what Jesus had come for. And we're going to start from the end in John chapter 19, verse 25. Right there at the cross, when Jesus is hanging, about to die. John 19, verse 25. Jesus is on the cross, and we read in about halfway through verse 25. It says, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. And so, Jesus is there hanging on the cross, and there is just a few people around, a few women and John. And he's right there. He's dying for the sins of the world. He's dying for the sins of his mother as well. Right at that point. And Mary is watching her innocent son die on the cross. He has been beaten. He has been humiliated. And now he's hanging on a cross like a criminal. Between two criminals. is innocent. And if there is anyone at the cross that knows that Jesus is innocent, that is his mother. She has known him for more than 30 years. She has raised him. She knows that Jesus is innocent. What do you think Mary is thinking as she's watching Jesus die? What do you think Mary is thinking as she sees her son being treated like a criminal? What do you think she's thinking? Well, definitely, Mary knew that Jesus was unique. He was really unique. In fact, she had known that Jesus was unique since before he was born. Remember the day that Gabriel came to Mary and announced that Mary was going to be expecting this child? In Luke chapter 1, in verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." That is quite a unique child that is about to be born. You know, every mother knows that their child is special, right? Too bad teachers don't seem to understand that our children are so smart. Too bad the baseball coach or basketball coach or soccer coach doesn't seem to understand how good at sports our children are. But to every mother, their children are special. They're so special that sometimes parents go as far as defending and justifying children in sin. However, Jesus is unique. There's no other child like him. And Mary knows it. What do you think Mary thought she was watching her son die on the cross like a criminal? Maybe she remembered those words that she heard more than 30 years before from Simeon when they were bringing baby Jesus to the temple. Maybe she remembered those words that Simeon told her in Luke 2, verse 34, where Simeon blessed them, talking about Mary and Joseph, and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul. The end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. A sword will pierce even your own soul." Probably Mary remembered those words. Probably she remembered because she can feel those words at that point as she watches her child die on the cross. Or maybe she even thought about those other words that Simeon had just said before this that we just read in verse 29. Of Luke chapter 2. "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." A light of revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of Israel. Now he's dying on a cross. Think Mary thought? Do you think she may have had any questions? Do you think she may have been wondering what was going on, why that was happening? Mary knew who Jesus was, but she may not have understood right away what he had come for. And actually, she was not the only one. You know, we're told in John 7 that his brothers, they did not understand who he was exactly, what he had come for, because they actually make fun of him. They did not believe him, says John. What about the apostles? Those 12 men that spent 3 years with Jesus, day and night, saw him teach, saw him perform miracles, and still, they couldn't understand some of the things Jesus says, especially when he comes to the crucifixion. Remember that one time when Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." But they thought he said that because they brought no bread with them. Remember that other time that they were planning to walk through Samaria and Jesus sent ahead some people to make arrangements and they rejected the idea, the Samaritans did. And John and James, this great idea, "Lord, do you want us to call fire to come out of heaven and consume them?" And what about that one time when Jesus is already heading to Jerusalem in Luke 18, verse 31? Luke 18, 31 through 34. "Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, 'Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and all things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon, and after they have scourged him, they will kill him, and the third day he will rise again.'" But look at verse 34. "The disciples understood none of these things, and the meaning of the statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said." What about John the Baptist, the very one that announced that Jesus was coming, the very one that announced the Lamb of the world, the Lamb of God is going to take away the sins of the world? And then later, when he's in prison, he sends some of his disciples to actually ask Jesus, "Are you the one? Or do we have to expect somebody else?" You know, maybe Mary did not understand right away what Jesus had come for. Is there a chance, at least? Remember in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was 12 years old, and they went to Jerusalem, and then they leave to go back home, but Jesus is not in the group with them. And so they go back to Jerusalem to look for him. And they find him in the temple listening to the people teach. In Luke 2 verse 48, "When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?'" You know, Mary comes to Jesus, and she's basically saying, "Where have you been? What are you doing?" And Jesus' answer here is twofold. Well, first of all, it doesn't really sound like a child has been away from his parents for 3 days, doesn't it? But he says, "Why is it that you were looking for me?" He's basically saying, "Mom, I wasn't lost. You should have known where I was." And then he's making a point about who his father really is. Look again in verse 48 when Mary speaks and says, "Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And then in verse 49, Jesus responds, "I had to be in my father's house. This is my father. This is where I am." In fact, in verse 50, they did not understand the statement which he made to them. Mary and Joseph, they did not understand why Jesus answered that way. And then you fast forward about 20 years to Mark chapter 3. And Jesus here is teaching. And there is a big crowd. And Mary and Jesus' brothers are looking for him. And they come to the place where Jesus was in Mark chapter 3, verse 31. His mother and his brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called. The crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." Answering them, he said, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Mary and her other children come to Jesus, And I don't think they are coming there to just call him home because dinner is ready. Maybe they actually heard some of what we read about in verse 6 of the same chapter. The Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him, against Jesus, as to how they might destroy him. Maybe they heard that actually Jesus is in danger and they want him to just come home. However, if you read also verse 20 and 21 of the same chapter, Jesus came home and the crowd gathered again to such an extent that they could not even eat a meal. And when his own people heard this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying he has lost his senses. That's his own people there refers to, maybe some of your translation may say his kinsmen or his relatives. You know, his relatives go to Jesus because they thought he lost his senses. We come here and we see our brother who we thought was normal, but we better take him home. Maybe they didn't understand what Jesus had come for. About us? What do we do? Do we doubt God? We do, don't we? When we don't understand what God is doing, what we don't understand when God does something, do we doubt God because he is too great and we cannot understand what he does? Do we doubt God because we are not capable of trusting him? You know, Mary may have not fully understood what Jesus had come for, but she was definitely a person of great character. You know, one of the ways that you can understand the character of somebody is through their prayers. Prayers give you an insight into people's hearts and minds. And we have a prayer in Luke chapter 1 where we're going to not really spend too much time in, and it's sad that we don't have enough to spend in it. But just look at the pronouns. You know, the first couple of verses are really about Mary. And the rest of the prayer is not about Mary. Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord," in Luke 1:46, "and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regard for the humble estate of his bondslave, for behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed." And that's where the pronouns that refer to Mary. The rest of the prayer is all about he and his, referring about God. She's not talking about what God had done for her. She's talking about what God had done through her to accomplish his purpose. When is the last time that we thoroughly rejoice because God had done something through us, not for us, not something that we asked him to do for us, but has done something through us to accomplish his purpose? We don't do that too much. Most of our prayers are about us and ourselves and things that we need and want God to do for us. What Mary's character was like. Also, who we go to and who we spend time with, especially during times of difficulties, during challenging times, that gives us an insight of the character of a person. You know, right after Mary receives this announcement about being the mother of Jesus, about this child that is so unique, what does she do? Well, in Luke 1:39, At this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And in verse 56, we learn that Mary stayed there with her about 3 months and then returned home. You know, she goes to Elizabeth. And maybe it's because from verse 24 of the same chapter, we learn that Elizabeth, for 5 months, she lived a secluded life. So probably Mary did not know that Elizabeth was expecting a child. And maybe she finds out from Gabriel that tells her that. But either way, in verse 5 and 6 of Luke 1, we learn about the character of Elizabeth, where we learn about Zacharias, who was of the division of Abijah, a priest, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. That's the kind of person that Mary went to when her life changed completely. We don't know anything about Mary's immediate family, but we know what kind of person Elizabeth was, and we know that Mary went to Elizabeth during important times of her life. Who you spend time with, who you go to when times are tough, says a lot about your character. And then, how others see us, especially how God sees us. You know, in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, and I guess by now you may as well have placed your bookmark there because we are referring to that section a lot. In verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Interesting words that Gabriel uses there. Favored one, you found favor with God. That title reminds me of somebody else in the Bible. Reminds me of how Daniel is addressed. Right after the prayer that he offers in Daniel chapter 9 and a couple of other places, when 500 years before he appeared to Mary, Gabriel appeared to Daniel. In chapter 9, right after the prayer of Daniel, Gabriel speaks to him and he says, in verse 23 of chapter 9, "At the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed," or some translation may say, "you are greatly loved. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision." And then again, chapter 10, in verse 11, "O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand these words." In verse 19, "O man of high esteem, do not be afraid." You know what kind of person Daniel was. And the way that Gabriel addresses Mary, it sounds, at least in the way that he respects Mary, a lot like what we see him do with Daniel. And really, verse 19 of Luke chapter 1, we learn that Gabriel is the angel who stands in the presence of God. And then again in verse 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee. That's the way that God looks at Mary. She's a person of strong character. An angel of God comes from the presence of God to a small town in Galilee. to an adolescent that really, if we saw her around, we wouldn't even pay attention to. And tells her, you have found favor with God. What kind of character did Mary have? What kind of purity did Mary have? And especially, what if God was looking today for a young lady, for his son to come into the world? Would he find anybody with that character, with that purity? Mary was a person of great character and a person of great faith. Mary is the best mother that God could have used for Jesus to come into the world. You know, with Mary as a mother, Jesus was not going to grow up and become wealthy. He was not going to grow up and get a PhD in some kind of discipline that is very highly respected. He was not going to grow up and become a great football player or an artist. Jesus had come for something much, much more important than that. What are our kids going to be when they grow up? And how is our character reflecting that? Mary was a person of great faith. Did you ever get signed up for something that you really didn't know about? Maybe some children are, oh yeah, my parents do that to me all the time. They sign up for me, sign up stuff for me all the time. Well, you know, one time here at Eastside, we have the work day in June. And, you know, knowing my great talents and my great abilities, usually I sign up for anything that requires no particular skill, no specialized tools. And one time I got here for a work day, and I look at the sign-up sheet that we have in the foyer, and I see my name by something that I hadn't really picked. And thankfully, somebody had already been working on that, so no worries, the building is still a safe place. But really, talk about surprises, talk about Mary. She was just minding her own business that day, probably. Their life changed forever in a moment. Let's read again Luke 1 verse 26 and think about what we would do. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Now the angel Gabriel comes in, it says there in verse 28. We are not sure if maybe he knocked on the door and Mary opens and Gabriel walks in, or maybe Gabriel appears all of a sudden while Mary was doing her own things in the house, and tells Mary in verse 31, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." There is not much room for choice, isn't there? There's no like, "Hey Mary, God was thinking about doing this. What do you think? Do you want to be part of it? Should I be looking for somebody else?" You will conceive and you shall name him Jesus. Not much room for choice. scared. What will we do? Well, actually, you know, I had other plans for my life. So I'm going to step out of this. What will we do? Who did you say you are again? Who sends you? What will we do? Well, we know what Mary does. Mary asks one question. Verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." How can this be? Since I'm a virgin. You know, Zacharias asks a question as well when Gabriel appears to him, but that's a different question. In verse 19, in verse 18, he appeared to Zacharias, he delivers his message, John is coming, Elizabeth is going to get pregnant. In verse 18, Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Gabriel, are you sure you're talking to the right person? Are you sure this is really going to happen? Zacharias' tone is a little bit of unbelief. Mary's question instead is more of a, "What do you want me to do? I'm engaged to Joseph. Do you want me to marry Joseph? Do you want me to marry somebody else? What do you want me to do? How is this going to happen?" That's Mary's question, really. And so Gabriel says, "No worries. You don't have to dump Joseph. You can marry him. It'll be fine. God has already taken care of it. For nothing will be impossible. Elizabeth, too old, barren, she's in her sixth month. Having a child without a human father? No problem. God will take care of it." Wait a second. Having a child without a father? Jewish society with the law of Moses. Remember the law of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 22? Remember the law of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 22 when it talks about somebody, some lady that gets married and she's not found a virgin? Or what about the section that follows that in verses 23 and 24. Deuteronomy 22, verses 23 and 24. If there's a girl who's a virgin, engaged to a man, sounds just like Mary, doesn't it? And another man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death. The girl, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he has violated his neighbor's wife, thus you shall purge the evil from among you. How many people are there that know that Mary has committed no sin? Well, God knows. Gabriel knows. Joseph will know eventually, and Mary. Anybody else? Have I missed anybody? You know, eventually people will start being able to tell what seems to have happened to Mary, because it'll become evident. Speaking of Moses, remember what Moses did in Exodus chapter 3? He's out watching his father-in-law's sheep, and he looks up and sees this bush, and the bush is burning, but it's not burning up. And so he gets close to the bush to try to understand what kind of phenomenon it is, and God starts speaking to him. And God starts describing to Moses how he's going to go to Pharaoh, and actually he's going to free the Israelites. Remember what Moses says in verse 11 of Exodus chapter 3? Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" Well, in verse 12, God says, "Certainly I will be with you." Moses, is not about you. It's about who sends you. "And this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." Verse 13, "Then Moses said to God, 'Behold, I am gone to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?'" Verse 14, "God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" And God keeps describing how this is going to take place, what Moses is going to be doing. And then eventually gets to verse 1 of chapter 4. Moses said, "What if they would not believe me or listen to what I have to say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you." "Okay, Moses. What is that you have in your hand? Is it a staff? Put it on the ground. Becomes a serpent. Pick it up." "I don't want to pick it up." "Pick it up." Well, he didn't really say that, but what is? "Put your hand in your clothes. Becomes lepers. Put your hand back in your clothes. Becomes normal. Is that enough, Moses?" Verse 10 of chapter 4. "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since I have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.' And the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say.'" Verse 13, he said, "Please, Lord, now send a message by whomever you will." Lord, just send somebody else. Mary did. An adolescent, probably in her teens, 14, 15, 16 years old, when her life changed forever, in a moment, when she was probably not expecting it, Luke 1:38, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may be done to me according to your word." You know, many times we're afraid to give Mary too much credit because some religious groups pray to her, even though there is not anywhere in the Bible authority for that. But Mary, the people, greatest faith that I know of in the Bible. Mary does not try to get out of what she's called to do. She does not try to find excuses. She's another lesson. You know, when we read this passage, what we don't see? We don't see any complaining. We don't see any drama. We don't see any, "Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand what it's like to be me. I have so many things going on. I have all these things that I have to take. I don't want to do it. You cannot tell me what I have to do or not have to do." We don't hear any of that. We don't read any of that. Mary asks one question. Legitimate question. After Gabriel answers her, Mary says, "Behold the bond servant of the Lord. May may be done to me according to your will. She sees something that needs to be done, and she's ready to do it. She's got to be one of the persons with the greatest faith in the whole Bible. So, to conclude, we go back where we started in John 19. Verse 25. Jesus is on the cross. He's about to die. And only John and a few women are there with him. Only John and a few women. Where are the other apostles? Where are those that just a few hours before we were talking about who's the greatest? Where is Peter, who had told Jesus, I'm going to go to prison and to death with you? Well, we know where he is, don't we? After denying Jesus three times. After all these men have run away like chicken, his mom is still. No matter how tough it is, his mom is still there. You know, ultimately, I don't know if Mary had any questions at that point. But I know that if she did have any questions, this did not keep faith in God away. This does not hinder her faith. She was right there when things got difficult. That's the kind of people that God is looking for. The people that are ready to say, behold, the bond slave of the Lord. May be done to me according to your will. Use me as a tool, God, for your glory. You know, the last thing we know about Mary, we found in Acts chapter 1. Right after Jesus is taken up into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. After all that happened, after more than 30 years, Mary's faith was still the same as the one of the day when she said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord. May be done to me according to your will. You know, Mary was a regular person. She was a human being just like us. But she was a person of great character. A person of great faith. And maybe she may have had questions. She may have not understood right away what God was going to do. How I was going to do it. But she was a person of great character. She was a person that was highly respected by God. By God. For who she was. And she was a person of great faith, who was faithful to God in spite of everything and anything that happened to her. What kind of people are we? I don't know if we are able to say that phrase that she said. Let God use us. I don't know if we are faithful to Him like she was, but I hope that we are all working towards it. She's a great example. And I hope that if you're not a Christian tonight, or if you are and you haven't been doing the right thing, I hope you were encouraged at least a little bit by this woman that we would not really pay much attention to if we saw her around. So greatly regarded by God. If there's anything that we can do for your spiritual